Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Oh, I really felt like I had to say, like, day 13 of the 12 days of podcast.
Oh, my God. I am so happy. Like, of all the years that we've been doing it.
Yeah.
I thought this year would be the easiest.
No.
And it was the hardest.
Yeah.
It was, you know, so hard.
But you know what, though? The bottom line is that we got 12 excellent episodes. We really had a fantastic reaction from everybody, you know, those people who followed us, those people who were new, those people who maybe had no idea who we were.
We got love from the haters.
We did. We got in Page Six.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good run of podcasts.
Yo, is Page Six a hater?
Jeff, not anymore.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Now they're back on our side. We also got into Daily News.
A great run. That's right. Both sides.
Mm-hmm.
We did a great run of podcasts. And the cool thing is that podcasts are forever.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have not listened to our podcasts with Cameron and Jinx and Young Baby Tate and everybody else that we had.
Our brother.
Tinashe, Bun B, Jorge Penache, Gia Peppers.
Again, our brother.
Yeah, our brother Dan.
Why are you so afraid to say Dan's name?
I'm not.
Yeah.
Our brother Dan.
Yeah.
Great episode. Go check that one out. Everyone's like, yo, congratulations on a really big year. And we will happily take your congratulations and say thank you, because we did put in a lot of work, but we don't get anywhere without you guys. We appreciate everybody who listens, everybody who subscribes, everybody who tells a friend, because it matters.
If you appreciate everybody so much, then call them out by name.
Oh, me?
Yes, okay. Every single one.
Alex Sampson.
Okay.
Jeff McHenry.
Keep going.
Aaron Roden.
Keep going.
Brandon Jinx Jenkins.
Keep going.
Oh, man. Corey Towns.
Keep going.
Jeff Rosenthal.
Keep going. That's it?
There's so many people to thank. We really do, guys, honestly, appreciate everybody.
Stu Cornelius.
Everybody.
Rembert Brown.
Everybody who tunes in and checks out A Waste of Time with It's the Real. Jeff, as this is the last podcast of 2019,
mm-hmm.
and
Barack Obama,
possibly the first episode of 2020,
mm-hmm.
we wanted to end the year off right and start the year off right.
Mm-hmm.
Who's on the podcast today?
On the podcast today is our friend Hovain Hilton.
That's right. Hovain Hilton, who is a partner over at Cinematic Music Group. Maybe you know him from being a manager. Maybe you know him from being an on-air personality. Maybe you know him from being a regular and constant Twitterer. But today, you find out all about him, how he grew up in Brownsville, Brooklyn, who his cousin is, by the way. Who
Paris
is a,
Hilton.
Is a... Jeff, I want the people to listen.
It's Paris and Nikki. It's crazy how we didn't get too deep into his Hilton Hotel connections.
That's right. This is why people listen to this podcast.
He's a heartbeat away from the presidency.
Shout out to Hovain. To sit down with him and hear how you build a career coming out of Brownsville, Brooklyn, having no connection to the music industry, not taking any internships, and really grinding from the bottom and making your way to the Summer Jam stage at Hot 97 is a fascinating story by itself. To start all over again after that is a better story. And Hovain is somebody who has kept a steady hand through this whole thing. And I think that we should all salute him for putting in the work as a manager, putting in the work as a record industry executive, but putting in the work as a human being and really elevating year over year.
I echo all of that.
And Jeff, shouldn't we all try to be like Hovain Hilton in that regard?
Yes. Also, like Paris and Nikki.
It's a family thing.
It's a family thing.
So, Jeff, anything else before we get into this episode?
Yes. You can always subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you are listening to this on. I'm talking about Spotify, YouTube, wherever the fuck.
Yeah.
Just press that subscribe button.
That is a great idea. Jeff, when do you want to get into this episode?
Actually, I want to say smash that subscribe button.
All right. So, Jeff, for the last time in 2019, for the first time in 2020, when do you want to get into this episode?
Right now.
Hovain, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, great.
All right, finally made it.
Yeah, hey. Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. The O'Neaters, a.k.a. Cinematic Music Group.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Thinking Outside the Box, a.k.a. Sitting in the Friend Zone.
I'm hoping.
Yes, your third favorite podcast to waste time with. It's the Real. Hope, what's happening?
What's up, man?
Everything's good. Great to see you on up here in the Upper West Side.
South Hollywood.
You, my friend, have had quite a bunch of years, but I think that this 2019 has been extremely special for you. We saw you at Barclays for Duce Palooza.
Getting y'all situated.
And yeah, thank you for that.
Not
and
just us, you got everybody situated.
You got the lock situated, and that's the most important thing. But you know what? Like, nothing has rained on your parade this whole year. I think it's been super successful on every project that you've been involved with.
Yeah, I feel like it. I feel like I'm kind of like hitting my zone.
So yeah, yeah, hit your zone, yeah.
Nah, it's been a blessing, really, to be a part of a team, like, you know, cinematic. And, like, when you put an album out and Billboard thinks it's going to chart, they hit you. They'll send you an email, like, yo, can you send us the product number, vinyl number, like, things like that. It's like the last six times the same guy hits me. He's like, yo, this is a lot of projects.
Yeah.
So, like, the Three Styles P solos, the two Dizza EPs, Lil Kel, Young and Ace, everything we put out, the Cam definitely going to be on Billboard. So everything we've put out, like the last seven, eight projects has been on Billboard Top 200.
That's got to be just mind-blowing at a certain point, right?
It's dope, man. I know. I never thought I was going to be at this point.
Really?
Like, you know, you visualize it, you want it, but, you know, to actually do it. Like,
yeah.
I came from managing one artist.
Right.
I managed one person to then not managing that person to now managing a slew of people and then having greater success than I ever had with a variety of people.
Yeah.
So it's like,
okay, so managing a whole roster of people, does your phone ever die?
Yes. I got two phones.
Yeah.
I got a work phone and a business and a personal phone.
And what happens when you're...
I like the idea of you saying, I have a work phone and a business phone.
But what happens when you're stuck in a place that has no service?
I get out of that place.
Yeah.
I get out of that place. I mean, sometimes it's unavoidable. Like, you know, if I miss a text or something or a phone call, like, you know, everybody misses.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So the president misses a call.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, this president misses all the calls.
Yeah.
So
he don't miss a tweet.
He
don't miss a tweet.
Who is your most active texter of your clients?
I think Lil Kel is probably the most active because he's 17.
Yeah, yeah, I was gonna say the youngest.
Mm-hmm. I think we text the most. Like,
does he like to FaceTime?
He's a FaceTimer.
Well, I mean, yeah, he is a rapper. Every rapper loves to FaceTime.
He's a FaceTimer. Me and SP text a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he texts a lot. Good morning. Like, you know, very... Yeah.
No, he's a great texter.
Yeah. He gets you in the right frame of mind before he asks you for anything. Good morning, how you feeling?
Yeah.
How's
yeah.
everything going?
Yeah.
What's up?
Doesn't that spoil you, though?
Yeah, then it makes you get somebody else like, what the fuck? Where's the money? Like, all right, whatever.
I want to take it back to the very, very beginning. Where are you originally from?
Brownsville, Brooklyn.
What is growing up in Brownsville, Brooklyn like?
Man, it's really tough because there's no signs of any success. So it's like nothing to gauge it from. It's like you see people who get older, they go to jail, they come home, they get killed, they go to jail again maybe if they, you know what I'm saying? So it's like no sign of success. The only people that were successful from Brownsville, Mike Tyson, M.O.P., and Sean Price.
So where did you look for success? You have, like, cousins that live out of town somewhere?
Sean Price happens to be my real cousin.
You're kidding.
Really? My blood cousin. Like,
holy
my real
cow.
Real cousin. Yeah, so it was, like, one of those things. Like, I used to be in his crib when he lived at 550 Stone. I used to be in his crib and then watching Video Music Box and then seeing him on Video Music Box. Like, I'm, like, 7, 8 years old. I'm like, hold on. He's on TV. Like, how? I don't understand it. And I remember one day his sister... Tasha explained to me, like, yo, he's a rapper. I was like, oh, shit. Oh, so you can be from here and do something. Oh, I get it.
Well, so, what kind of music were you listening to growing up?
Just like, you know, I have older sisters. My sister was really big into Prince.
Yep.
So I used to listen to Prince, but besides that, rap.
Yeah.
Smooth the Hustler.
Yeah.
M.O.P.
Yeah.
Like, shit that a little kid shouldn't be listening to. Redman.
Yeah.
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 Snoop Dogg. N.W.A. I'm about to discover N.W.A. probably like around 10, 11. And I was like, that shit just made you feel like the gangsterest person ever. I was like, yo, this is crazy.
But none of those acts are like underground, you know, no one's like backpackish, you know, these are like popular acts.
Well, yeah, I mean, you
like
were, you were
Smith
like eight.
Wesson,
yeah, yeah,
Moon,
sure. Yeah, 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 yeah.
The Fab Five, like whatever yeah. they, you know what I'm saying? Like that was like kind of like underground, but they were like the champions of the neighborhood because it's like, you know. This is Brownsville.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like M.O.P. How about some hardcore?
Yeah, right.
Stuff a 10-year-old shouldn't be listening to.
But that Sean Price, it's just like, you're like the guys that I listen to, too, and you're on Video Music Box. Yeah. Like,
shout out to Bernadette. They just put out a new EP.
Yeah.
The Price of Fame, him and Lil Fame.
Yeah.
So one of the rhymes on it, he shouted at me out. I think it was like song number 3. He said, I was a no-change bummer. Now I'm riding around in my cousin Hovain Hummer.
Man.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Real How did shit. That feel?
I mean, when he did that verse that day, he played it for me. I was like, oh, that shit's dope. But it was like, it's kind of bittersweet that, you know, he gets his flowers when
he's, yeah, when he's not here.
For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. What did your parents do?
My mom was a teacher for like 35 years before she retired. And before my pops died, he was an RN.
When you were growing up and you see success from your cousin,
yeah.
are you like, I want to be a part of that situation? Or are you like...
He's definitely the reason why I'm in music. Like, because I was like, damn. I don't know what it is I want to do, but I want to do something that leads me to success. But I love music, so, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
know if I was going to be a rapper, singer, DJ.
Could have been any of those things.
Yeah.
It was going to be something in music ever since I was a little kid. I knew that.
So when you get to high school and you're, like, forming into more of a human being, what are you what are you getting into, like, creatively?
Kind of like...
Are you rapping? Are you singing? Are you DJing?
No, not singing.
Yeah.
I definitely had like a slight, light, very light rap career.
Yeah.
So around high school, it was like, yeah, rapping in the lunchroom.
Did you have a rap name?
Yeah, I did.
You have to tell us.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
John Street.
John Street. All right. Yeah.
Did that you, sounds like a Philly rapper.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was going to say.
John Street was the mayor.
Philly. I know. Yeah. Did you have like other friends who were rapping, or was everybody rapping, or
everybody,
was it?
I think everybody was rapping at that time. Like everybody. So it was just like, you know, the thing to do.
Did you think anybody was nice in high school? Like any of your classmates?
There was a couple of people that was really good. I was like, damn, this guy put words together really good.
Yeah. But is it something where like, you only know like your high school and your surrounding like area where it's like the world is huge, but yeah. like you're like, yo, because when we went to high school, there was this kid who played football who was like, his name is Sammy Maldonado, and he ended up being like the number one rusher for
all of New York State,
oh,
and went to Ohio State, and we're just like, yo, like, and he was the king, right? It's just yeah. like it was an option offense, and you just like gave it to him every time, right? So touchdowns, like, and we won championships like yeah. year after year. He goes to Ohio State. And, like, you're playing with the big boys now, you know?
Yeah.
Which is a different... And then even the smartest kid in your high school goes to, like, some college. And it's like, oh, they're smarter kids. Right, exactly. So were you like, yo, these kids are nice in high school, and, like, and you believe in them, and you're like, yo, that one's going to be, like...
You know what it was, too? Like, I'm from Brownsville. I went to school in different areas of Brooklyn. Then I went to high school in Flatbush. So I had friends in Coney Island. I had friends. So I used to be everywhere. People were like, where the fuck do you live? Like,
yeah.
I live in Brownsville, but I used to be like everywhere. Canarsie Night School, Wingate, fucking summer school.
How did you get around?
Train.
Is that because you didn't want to be in Brownsville?
It was nothing to do.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I would come home, like, I have a set of friends that still live in Brownsville that I still am cool with to this day, but it's like, really, at the end of the day, there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
like, You grow up in Brownsville and you get to see other neighborhoods and other places. Like, oh shit, y'all be outside and just chilling, or y'all go here every Friday. It's like, oh, all right, that's dope. So having friends in different areas, like I met rappers from different places. So I would have a good gauge of like, oh, nah, he's actually good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And did P lead you into any of these like environments?
No, not really. Nah. Him and Drew Howe was running around doing yeah. their thing, getting money news and.
So you didn't go to Duck Down or anything, or?
Nah, not really. I might have went to one show. Here's a thing that was like kind of like a 360 moment. At a time, me and Sick was doing these concerts called the Famous Factory.
Yeah,
XSL. I think remember that came that. A couple.
Yep.
And I was able to book him on a show, on one of the shows. I think it was the Dom Kennedy show. I booked him for it, and it was like, kind of like a full circle moment. Like, man. Oh shit, I booked my cousin, gave him some money.
Yeah.
Doing shit like,
were you like, yo, do me a favor here, like give me the friends and family,
yes,
like, you know, yeah,
100%. I pulled up on him, I said, yo, are you busy next weekend? He's like, nah, what's your rate? Oh, that's your rate. Well, this is how much I have.
Yeah.
Can
yeah.
you please do it? He was like, yeah, of course I do.
What was the first concert you went to?
Puffy, Bad Boys and the Family.
What? And then how did you where were you sitting for that?
High up.
Yeah.
My sister took me. We was in the nosebleed, but that it was everybody there was in the nosebleeds. Everybody was rocking. It was a good time.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, yeah. Legendary.
Bad Boy and the Family concert.
Did you end up going to the reunion concert a couple years ago?
I didn't go. Yeah. I didn't. I should have.
It was very meaningful.
Yeah.
You know? So you're running around. You're all over Brooklyn. Are you managing? Are you, like, interning anywhere?
No, I never interned.
You just have a...
Just had a,
you have a love for
hip hop, and you know, I hang out with rapper people, street guys, but I wasn't doing anything like full fledged into music, just had a passion for it.
So, by the time you end up graduating high school,
yes,
what's the vision? Where are you going?
There was no vision. I went to college for like 2 years.
Oh my god! I definitely thought you were gonna be like 2 days.
No, like two. Like,
where'd you go to college?
First, I went to New York City Tech.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I finished there. Then I was like, I don't really want to do nothing else. Kind of like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did that concern like your mom?
Yeah, I was like, yo, you know, she's big on education.
Yeah.
She has a fucking doctorate. So she's like, yo, dog. Like,
she also has a career for 30 years.
Yeah. Like, so it was kind of like one of those things, like, what are you going to do?
And what was the answer?
I'm going to sell drugs, man. Nah.
Well, did you feel like you could, like, figure it out later? Were you like, yo, I'll take this job or that job and I'll, like, you know, put in my time and...
Yeah, like, I had... I want to say I had 3 jobs my whole career that didn't include music. 2, like besides some of you from like when you were a little kid, besides jobs, I worked at a call center for like 2 months. Like, you know, call people with surveys. I was like probably like 17.
Man.
That shit was terrible. Yeah. It was in Long Island.
Yeah.
People hanging depressing, up
like,
you.
Like, yeah.
And then the other job, I had worked at Burlington Coat Factory for like 7 months. Like
wow.
6, 7 months. And I was like, nah, never.
Again. As a salesman?
Nah, cashier.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like, cashier.
Yeah.
I was cool. I had a car then. Like, I was driving my manager home. My manager didn't even have a car. So
damn.
Like, I'm driving, I'm getting money.
Yeah.
Like,
eh.
Wait, how did you have a car? Okay. Some certain things. Yeah.
Okay.
This isn't that type of injury. What were your friends doing?
Going, selling drugs, being in Brownsville. Just,
so, like, you know, even going to college was a big step.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, from my area, 100%.
Did you honestly think that 17, 18 years old, that you might settle down in Brownsville and never leave?
That's definitely one of those things, because you'd be like, man, I'm going to be a fucking failure. Like, it was like, damn, like, you might sell drugs, get to a certain level, you might go to jail, you might get killed, but it's like, you know, there's no kingpins coming no more. That's not happening. Like,
yeah,
you know, you're not going to sell drugs and be fucking Nicky Barnes and
right,
skate off. That doesn't happen. Like, so it's like, you got to figure something else out, because there's no win in your solution. So you don't even see a representation of like what a win actually looks like. So it's like, yeah, you kind of just fall into that fucking rigmarole of selling drugs, getting a little bit of money, selling some more drugs, getting a little bit of money, but it's like there's no, you're in a hamster wheel, you don't even realize it.
There's no way out.
Yeah.
Shouts to Puff.
If you if you can't see outside of the storm, right? Yeah. How do you make your way past that?
Determination. I think determination, like, you know, reading and getting life experiences and being open to different things and seeing things, it gives you like, oh, shit, there is more than this. Like, oh, like, very early on, I was very lucky to manage Rich Hill, who's Tommy Hilfiger's son.
Yeah, for sure.
So we flying G5s and shit. We staying at whatever the best hotels and shit.
What does that do to your, like, mind?
It's ridiculous. It's crazy. Like, oh, shit, this is Tommy Hilfiger.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Tommy Hilfiger.
How did you meet Rich Hill?
Through Sycamore.
Right.
Sycamore is, like, really, really good. Sycamore is my kid's godfather. So,
yeah.
So Sick, it was managing Rich. But, like, Sick also got a label job, so it was like he couldn't run around with him certain places.
Yeah.
So he was like, yo, I need you to kind of, like, road manage him. So I was like, all right, cool.
Sycamore now, like, people...
Is the
you
guy.
Know, yeah, yeah. He's the guy.
He's the
like,
guy.
Everybody knows his work with Travis. Everybody knows his work with YG. Everybody knows what he's done at, you know, Epic and Atlanta and, yeah, Interscope and everywhere. Def Jam and...
And on our podcast.
And on our podcast, yeah, for sure. But Sycamore... was
DJ.
Yeah, and his story is legendary, and I really, really, really cannot recommend enough for people to go and listen to his episode.
100%.
And he talks about his hustle and how he, like, opened up little shops and, like, moved his stuff around and made this new generation of rappers happen.
Yeah.
So and then even with that, there were guys like you and Josh Pease and
Listen. Like, you know how they have the Rockefeller tree?
Yeah.
Somebody got to do a Sycamore tree
for sure.
Like, in all seriousness, like, he did this thing called the Famous Firm, where it was a bunch of creatives and young managers and young talents. He had us all together, and we all kind of, like, formed a firm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Famous Firm.
Yeah, right.
Actually. So what happened was, he's still running around. He's young. I was 23. He was 22. So, like, he didn't have the bandwidth to manage all these people and all these things. So everybody kind of fell out. And at the end of the day, it was kind of like just me and him. Like a fucking Birdman, Lil Wayne situation. Like, everybody left, started doing their own thing. So it was like, yeah, we gonna make this rock. So we started doing shows, doing a whole bunch of shit. But, like, all those people went off to be, like, dope people. Like,
yeah.
Josh Pease, Anwar,
yeah.
Fucking Jay News, myself.
Oh, man.
Candy. It was, like, a bunch of people that who are impacting culture right now.
Yeah.
But what was your involvement with, like, following blogs, like, being on to, like, new music from around the country at that point? Like, even before you linked up with Sycamore, were you on, like, Not Right?
And everything, yeah.
Yeah, Miss Info.
Everything.
Two Dope Boys.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Just, like, listening and, like...
Listening, yeah. The newest music, like, staying on top of, like... Because I wouldn't say I was early on it, but, like, I knew this is where you get the newest music. And, like, I seen the shift. It start going from mixtape, because I was super heavy in the mixtape shit.
Yeah.
Then it started going into online.
So were you on MySpace?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super. MySpace was the original subs. You take somebody out your top eight.
Yeah. 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 Who was in your top eight?
Oh, man, it would vary. It would vary. Sometimes
did you leave Tom in?
Yeah, you gotta leave Tom in.
Yeah, because Tom's like,
I leave Tom number eight. You got to. You got to. That gives you a little wiggle room too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I don't gotta worry about age of 7. No, I'm not going nowhere.
Yeah. Also, Tom put me on, so it's like, you know,
can't front on the connect.
So how did you actually meet Sycamore?
Running around in Brooklyn. I think this time I was already managing Troy, so just running around in Brooklyn. So I already started getting a name for myself, then seeing Sick, and then, like, you know, everybody knows Sycamore mixtape, so it was like, when I did, man, I was like, oh, I fuck with you, man. Like, your mixtapes was dope. Your instruments was whatever, everything you're doing. And we first met, we connected like that. Like, yo, man, mutual admiration.
Yeah, for
yo,
sure.
I like what you're doing. I like what you're doing. Keep doing it, yo.
So the reality of the music business is this. People could be very territorial, 100%. Right? They could be like, yeah, I don't want to give you my sauce, like, because, like, I'm trying to win. Did you face 100%. That? Did you feel that? Were you like, yo?
I think a lot of times, because, like, you know, coming into the music with the attitude kind of we had, it was like, nobody ain't give us no internship. Nobody ain't, well, we didn't want no internship, but we didn't do no internship, so we not nobody's little brothers, nobody's little cousins. So it was like, I'm here. Like, I'm in the league. I'm here to play ball. Like, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't kind of like somebody walked us in like, oh, yeah, they're cool. It's cool to fuck with them.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, fuck y'all, you corny. You corny.
Yeah.
I'm here too.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like one of those type of things. So I think a lot of times they rub people wrong. So people were kind of like abrasive or to us. Like, I don't know about these guys. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So you were doing it like no connections, like totally from the ground up.
Totally, 100%.
What was your mission? Was your mission to sign a major label deal? What did you ideally want when you're a young man and you're running around with one artist?
At first, it was recognition. He's nice. Was like, yo, he is nice. We're going to get people to see that he is nice. Attention, we wanted people to see that. Once we had the attention, we wanted people to be like, they're carrying New York. They are, because a lot of times we used to get flack for that. Like, yo, oh my gosh, all right, we get it. You guys are from New York. But the sound of the city was changing, so people didn't sound like New York. So we were kind of early in this whole we're so New York shit that happened a couple years later. So it was like, we used to be like, yo, we're from New York. This is how New York's supposed to sound. This is what it's supposed to look like. Stop dick riding other places. Whatever, whatever. But that rubbed some people the wrong way.
We're friends with the business, the producers of the business.
Yeah, that's my guy.
And they would say that when they thought of, like, regional sounds, that's something that they, like, really wanted to keep, you know, true,
yeah,
right?
100%.
Because there was this, like, oh, Atlanta's hot. Well, New York rappers are going to, like, rap over Atlanta-type beats.
The internet blurred that line.
Yeah.
It's not even... Certain people say certain things, and I used to love that. You wouldn't talk like nobody
slang.
Else.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't live there, so I don't know when you're saying something is bomb.
Yeah.
But now on the internet, you could be from New York. You could be from right here and be like, yo, this is so bomb.
Right.
And somebody in L.A. is like,
yeah.
What are you doing? Like, what are you're using that wrong. You're not even saying that right.
But it would end up where it's like, you know, the only people that they felt were doing it were like Chasing Cash.
Yeah.
Troy Ave,
yeah,
and not many other people. They were like, yo, keep it like from where you're from.
And it's dope to interpret other regions into your sound, but like, let's not lose the identity, because that's what happened to New York kind of. Like, we kind of lost the identity. Producers are confused. They don't know what to make no more. They're like, what is the sound of New York?
Yeah.
Because if everybody starts to, like, put it like this. We used to tell DJs, yo, bro, you need to start playing some New York artists, showing some support, even if you don't like it that much, play it. Because if you're not playing New York artists, why do we need to keep you? How about we just syndicate the top DJ in Atlanta into the slot, since all you playing is Atlanta music?
Right. Yeah.
There's no difference. And they used to look at me like,
okay. But like, but like, let's be honest here. Who are you, right? Like, you run up on, like, I don't know, Enough or K-Slay or somebody, and you're like, yo, you got to play this record. They look at you. Do they know you from, like, your work with Sycamore? Do they know you from, like, around town?
They know me from around, a little bit from around town. Like,
but you could be anybody, right?
Yeah, I'm not, what do you call it? One of them guys from the Tupac era, and I'm
not an OG that's been, like, around.
I'm 20-something years old. Yeah.
So besides just having, like, a good confidence and, like, maybe you someone knows someone who knows someone, how do you break through?
Work ethic. One thing I never say about us in that time or whatever, like, whatever happened, we worked hard, whatever.
But what does that mean when you work hard, right? Like, because, I mean, like, a lot of people out there might be like, so you just, like, talk to people over and over and persistent?
Like, this was, like, a grassroots thing. Like, we was going selling our CDs from, like, place to place. If there's a showcase, if there's a how can I be down concert somewhere or whatever, we're there.
Yeah.
We're spending our own money, we're showing up. So it's like familiarity now. It's like, no, these guys are everywhere. And then, like, what people don't realize is when the streets say something is hot, the industry has to catch up to it. They'll be a little late on it, but they have to catch up on it. When Bobby and Rowdy came out, streets demanded that.
Yep.
So the radio stations and urban, everything, they have to play it. So you take control of what you can control. Yo, we can't handle the politics of the industry. That's cool. We'll be here every night shaking hands. But let's hit these streets because we can control that.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Who was the first person that really, like, co-signed you from the industry that was like, because, I mean, like, you're talking about the industry that was late on you.
Yeah, I mean.
So who was early on you?
The first, I don't even want to say the first because I don't want to, I might be wrong and I don't want
to
be offended with a lot of people.
Who was early on you? Yeah.
There was a lot of people early, like Ebro was early, Carly was early.
I remember Carly.
Half of them on Smash.
Yep. Big time.
We put out a tape and Hoff was like, yo, my number was on the CD. He hit us like, yo, I want to meet with you guys. He lived in the LES at the time. We came to LES. He was like, yo, whatever y'all need, I'm going to help y'all in the digital space, whatever. Like, I believe he was all in. He was one of the people that was super early.
Shout out to Hoff just because.
Yeah, Hoff is my guy. He got married. That's my
guy.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I still talk to Hoff.
He's a genius.
Shout out to Gia.
He's gone. His man. On Smash
on
is like
Smash, man.
Their roller coaster journey's been wild.
Yeah,
but,
he finally got his sight back.
Yeah. So
Butch Lewis was very early in believing on us. Butch Lewis was a boxing promoter who he was kind of like a mentor to a lot of young black millionaires and showing them how to get money and things to do. So like Jay-Z was somebody he kind of like had under his tutelage and showed them money moves and shit like that. So in turn, he gave him a record label at Def Jam. Mm. So Butch Lewis was like an early believer in us too.
Okay, so you've seen, you know, Private Flights and Tommy Hilfiger
and then
money
coming back to the hood,
and then you start, you know, grassroots.
Yeah,
and you were willing to like ride this out. Yeah. You were like, yo, okay, I get what it is.
What's the other option?
No, I guess the other option is
keep
like
selling drugs.
Or
Dwayne Reed or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Support your local drug dealer. You know what I'm saying? So you're doing this. Does your family understand that?
No. Like, you know. My mom's from the Bahamas. My pop's from Jamaica. So I'm like first generation American.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm born in Brooklyn or whatever. So it's like, they don't really grasp. Like, my mother don't grasp it fully still to this day.
Today.
Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, I've got platinum plaques and shit.
Right.
She's like, we'll go somewhere if somebody want to take a picture with me. My mom's be like, like, I'm cute. That's why. But, like, you know, she don't fully grasp that. They don't really get that. They're just like, yo, I know you and your friend running around doing some music shit or whatever, but whatever. Like, it wasn't really like, it was a support. Like, all right, I wish y'all well. Good luck.
Yeah. But it's not like a real job, like a teacher or a nurse
Does that make like Thanksgiving's tough?
Nah, it's still cool.
People aren't like, yo, are you still doing the music shit?
Yeah, we're still doing it. But then the other things we were doing to supplement income for not making no money from music at the time was like, you know, I had a very nice car.
Yeah, right.
A very nice car.
Yeah.
If you ask me for some money, here's some money. Like,
okay. How much pride did you have in doing it independently and not having backing?
That was like the biggest thing to stand on.
Yeah.
Cause it was like, yo, look, there's no body behind door number one. Oh, nah, we're not paying for this video.
No one's pressing the button.
Yeah.
But that being said,
and this is something that we go through on our end, if a building got behind,
yeah,
wouldn't you be just like, yes, like whatever?
It has to be the right amount of money. It has to be the right amount of thing, because y'all put 12 years of sweat equity into this thing. So you're not going to let somebody come with a money bag and control you, because that's prostitution.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
People that do anything for money are prostitutes.
Yeah. So you guys on a regular basis would sit down and just be like, all right, this is where we're at. And this is where we need to go. And how do we map that out?
Yeah, kind of.
Like, man.
Take a heat check. Like, you know, damn, this year we didn't get picked for the fucking festival stage. That's fucking crazy. We didn't get the XXL. Shit. We need to fucking work harder. What are we going to do? Let's figure some shit out. Let's work harder. We turned it up. All right, next year, festival stage. Oh, shit. Yeah, Drake. Festival stage again. Fuck. XXL cover. Damn. All right. Now we got the XXL cover. Then we did the main stage two times in a row. It was like, oh my gosh, oh.
In that time, there was brushback, you 100%. Know?
Like, why did they get in this? Why did, like, really, to be honest, like, the first year we got the main stage, it was a risk for them. They did that. It was a risk. It was like, yo, y'all not signed to anyone.
Right.
Y'all 100% independent.
Like, right.
We're the first independent artist ever to do Summer Jam. Like, 100%.
Hit that main stage.
100% independent. Like, so it was kind of like, it was a little risque for them, but then we proved them right while we caught a hit all about the money. Then it was like, aha.
When LeBron went down to Miami.
Yeah.
He flipped that switch and became the bad guy.
The bad guy.
They understood their role.
Yeah.
Do you think when you guys hit that stage and you're playing in Giant Stadium in front of everybody, not just in the parking lot anymore?
Yeah. In the
did you own that? Were you just like, yeah, fuck everyone?
We deserve this shit. Hell yeah. Fuck. It's people we seen that got the main stage, like, they not working harder than us. We everywhere. I know when somebody's working hard, you take your hat off when you see other people working hard, or maybe even harder. Like, yeah, he deserves that shit. And some people who don't. And there's nothing wrong with saying, honestly, wholeheartedly, if somebody doesn't. I'm not hating on you. I'm not saying anything derogatory. But if I know I'm working harder than you, and this is based off of work,
yeah,
you don't deserve that. It's relationship-based sometimes.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't have relationships that have helped me and continue to help me, because
but you built those relationships. 100%. And so I think that, like, you know, to
relationships is a two-way street. It's not like you just do for me. I've done countless, numerous things for artists and people that people would never know about, because I would never speak on it.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Oh, no, speak on it on this podcast, please. I would go into that.
We need your mom to listen to this and understand what you do.
Yes.
So when you leave the Giant Stadium, you know, parking lot, you know, to head home.
We had a party that night. We had a party, yeah.
Where'd you go?
I don't even remember the name of the spot, but it was somewhere in the Lower East Side. It was a good time. Fab came, and we was all happy. Let me tell you this. The first time performing on the main stage, we didn't know, like, you don't drive, like, right up to the shit. So we rented mad dope cars, all type of Lambos. We had all type of shit. Then you drive to the artist parking lot. Yeah. And take over the car. Yeah. I'm like, nobody even gonna see these shit. We fuck the city up, leaving the shit. Like, leaving, people seeing us. They're like, yo, these niggas, all type of Benzes, Lambos. We had like 12 crazy, crazy, crazy joints.
You're like, artist parking lot.
Yeah, like, we ain't gonna drive this to the fucking stage. ignorant.
After that, though, a lot more attention. Now you're on a, you know, pardon the pun, a bigger stage.
Yeah,
More people are paying attention to you. Yeah. Rick Ross, Def Jam, different places that... Yeah. Did you meet with everybody?
Just about, yeah.
Who were you impressed by?
Kevin Lyles. Kevin Lyles is a good one. I met with Leon Todd at 300 early. I respect them both tremendously. Like, I have a great relationship with Todd back from his asylum days with Joey. So, like, you know, that was cool. But, like, everybody who's in that position and still in that position are there for a reason. So they're all impressive.
Did you feel like you could ask for more because of what you've built all along?
Sweat equity. It's like, no disrespect, but, like, a lot of people do things out of desperation. And, like, artists come from a place of they'll take this deal for X amount of money and a bad deal because there is nothing else. Like, I'm fucking living with my moms and trapping, whatever type of terrible situation that most of us urban people come from, they'll be a little more susceptible and easier to be behooved and take a bad deal because they're in financial distress. We weren't in that position.
Yeah.
So it was like, I'm going to give you an advance of $150,000 or $200,000. The deal is worth $800,000. This nigga like, yo, I got $800,000 in my bank. Like,
yeah.
Like, how you offering me what I have.
You're negotiating from a position of strength.
It's a different type of negotiation. So it was like, yo, we can just stay independent and kind of make.
So you walked out those rooms?
Yeah. Like, you know, not disrespectfully, but
It was just like, this isn't going to work.
What you say is cool, but when my lawyer calls me and he explains to me the deal and walks me through the points and walks me through everything, it's like, oh, this is nothing. You offer me $150,000, I might have $50,000 on me that day.
What makes you a good manager?
Oh, I think I have a lot of unique skills in my tool set. My toolbox.
Yeah.
I think that, like, you know, I'm not like one of those managers that be with you all day, every day, but I can't do that. I have relationships that are super high, like the presidents of companies. Then I have relationships that are with people that these people wouldn't necessarily talk to. I have street ties and relations with people. So it's like, you know, it's unique.
When you think about putting that first big album out, right? And there's a bunch of big features on there.
Yeah.
And you think about the process of getting all those features in. Again, you're not dealing with like a major label or A&Rs or, you know.
Direct to artists.
What do you think about the work that you put in on your end? I'm sure you guys did things, you know, together, separately, whatever. What do you think about the job that you did in getting all those artists to be a part of it?
I think, like I said, it was 50-50, but I think I did a great job. And I think that is a reason that people know me. You know what I'm saying? People know me not because of I'm a snazzy dresser and handsome and have a great name. Those are all true. it's because of the work. People know me for my work. I think maybe you can call 8 random people out your phone that's not in the music industry and ask them who a certain big name manager is. And they're like, I don't fucking know. Why do you know me? A manager that was managing an artist that wasn't even signed to a major. Never. So it's like, it's a reason I'm known. I'm known for my work.
And by the way, not everything is pretty. When you guys had to go to a gig in, you know, Connecticut.
Dog.
You're driving, right?
The first tour we ever went on was the Life Is So Exciting tour with Fab and Pusha T. We were opening for them. It was a dope tour. Like, I think Cheo or Webb hit us like maybe 48 hours before, yo, we don't got no money for you. We have opportunity. I had just bought my Hummer. I had an H3. So he was like, yo, we're going to go take this Hummer. We're going to hit the road. We driving. We sleeping in O'Connor Lodges. We doing whatever.
Do you remember what year this was? Around?
Pre-Soul Tape 2. Soul Tape 2 dropped in what, 11?
Yeah, so 2010, 10, something like that? Yeah. Okay, 10, maybe, so gas is not cheap?
No, gas.
You're driving a Hummer?
H3, it was a smaller one.
Yeah, but still. It's not a fucking, hybrid.
It wasn't a Prius. So we packed it up and did what you have to do. Like, a lot of times, like, you can be confident and cocky and egotistical, like some things people say, but you also can be humble and willing to sacrifice. You know what I'm saying?
At the same time.
Both of those things can be true.
Like Rozelle.
Yeah.
We didn't have no ego. Yo, you letting us open up. These are two artists we both love and respect.
Yeah.
Have great fan bases. We can open up. We're not getting a nickel.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And also, no one needs to know that. Like, they look and all that they see is Troy Ave is on that bill.
Yeah, 100%.
So you make those sacrifices when you put that album out, and you know it, that also was a big deal too. You know, you went independent. There was people talked about what the splits were, you should have signed this, that, and the other thing. But after you put a project out like that, and you got all those features on there, and you legitimize yourself by being on that Summer Jam stage, how do you feel?
It was almost like it's validation, but it's like we need more. It's validation, like, yo, I told y'all fucking idiots. I should have been, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, you know, we need more. Like, you revel in it, but I want more. I have a terrible streak of ambition. I want more.
So it's all potential.
Yeah, it's like, yo, we did great. It's cool. People like the album. We need more.
How does your impatience come out?
And sometimes curse words. I try not to be like, you know, like the type of person who's unpleasant. I try not to get too high.
You to be like actually one of the more pleasant people.
I try to be all the time, because if you let what people say, like if you tell me, yo, you're the greatest and you tell me I'm the worst.
Yeah.
Both of these points are valid. Like, you can't ignore the positive or take in the positive and ignore the hate. So I try not to get too high on either. You could praise me. I don't let that go to my head. You could say something bad to me. I don't let that go to my heart. You know what I'm saying? I have self-confidence. I'm self-aware. I know who I am. You know what I'm saying? That's very key. Knowing who you are.
Yeah. But there's also understanding that there's things beyond your control.
100%.
So 100%. You guys are on a trajectory.
Yeah.
Everything is good. You're feeling great.
Yeah.
There's nothing that can stop you.
Yeah.
Until it does stop.
Yeah.
Your guys' working relationship ended in quite a spectacular form. Yeah. I think that it's been in the news. People understand the logistics of it. But when you think back on showing up at that venue, when you think about like what you guys had built, and all of a sudden, months later, you guys are not working together.
Yeah.
Troy dragged your name around, and you have to reset. Like, honestly, what does that do to your heart? Because this is your friend, too.
You know what it do? It really, like, it makes you focus within. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times, like, especially a manager job is a thankless job. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't look for thanks in it because that's stupid. If you look for thanks in a thankless job, you'll be disappointed. So it was like,
you'll get 15% of a thanks.
Yeah. 20. Yeah. But it makes you say, like, you know, let me focus all that energy and all that confusion, all of that mites, all of the things that you might feel, you try to kind of like focus on me. What can I do better? What have I done wrong? You know what I'm saying? Because if you look inward before you try to place blame on other things, other variables that you can't control, you're always going to be short. So you kind of like self-reflect. Like, so I took some time to kind of like look into me, like, yo, what did I do wrong? What can I do better? Maybe I should invest energy into me. Maybe I should focus a little more on my family. On, like, you know what I'm saying?
Like, were you ever like, yo, like, not us. Like, this wouldn't, like...
It happens, though. Like, you know, people fall out in business every day.
Yeah.
I think people sensationalize it because it is hip-hop. It is rap. But how many times do people start things and they don't end up together?
Yeah.
It just happens.
No, for sure.
Business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Or personal relationships. I mean, like, anything.
You with the girlfriend you lost your virginity to?
Right. No. Right?
Yeah, like,
I am.
Yeah, yeah.
It happened last week.
At the time when you felt a love for your first love, did you ever imagine I'll be over it and whatever?
No.
Like, I'll just see her walking down the street, like, hey, what's up, and keep it moving. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's never a time where you imagine it being over, but when it's over, it's over.
So, okay, you look inward. You spend more time with your family. Did you have a chance to escape? Did you go somewhere and, like, just turn your phone off? Or was it right back to work?
It wasn't really right back to work. It was kind of like, I had a great support system of friends and family, girlfriend, wife, like, shit like that. So it was like, these people were like, yo, man, we're not going to let you have your head down. Come on. The Sycamores, the Karen Civils, the B-Dots. They're like, yo, come on, dog. You going to get this shit right. You know what I'm saying? Rob Markman, like, you know what
I'm
saying?
Did it ever seem bigger than you could handle?
No. Because I come from a place of, there's still, like, I come from this place of despair and death and friends killing friends.
So you're still up.
I have a friend who killed his brother. And, like, I've dealt with real life issues before I ever did anything in music.
But I mean, that being said, like, there is this sort of like power imbalance in him dragging your name around, right? Like, you couldn't back at him in the same way. And I don't know that was even your impulse, but I'm just saying that there's this thing where it's just like
people handle shit how they handle shit.
Yeah,
how you react to it is on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I choose never to talk about anybody I got money with or did anything with. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's just not what I do. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That he chooses to do other. That's on him.
What was the last time you talked to him? Or has it just been like the last time was the last time?
Yeah, I think like the last time was the last time. Probably like however long it's been, 3.5 years, 3 years or whatever. Like,
Wow. Now. So at a certain point, you do, you know, get to a point where you're like, I can rebound and start something new.
100%.
What was that new thing?
Remember I did like a little interview series with Fancy.
I do remember that.
My guy Joe from Fancy called me one day. He was like, no, I tweeted one day. I said, yo, if you're looking for me, I'm spending my life savings on Fancy.com. And he DM'd me like, yo.
You just meant it like honestly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing. I was sitting on fancy.com just buying mad shit. He DM'd me like, yo, I fuck with you. I'm a big fan of your work. If you ever in Soho, hit me up or whatever. Let's link. So maybe a month later.
And you were always in Soho.
Yeah. A month later, I was in Soho. I hit him.
He's like, yo, you were a Dean and DeLuca.
Buying $7 apples. Ridiculous. Apples are crazy. But
you're gonna get an Apple sponsorship.
I know,
please send them in. I love apples. But
I meant the computers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that too.
No,
yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Apple. But I went to go visit him. We kicked it. We talked about some ideas. He talked about he wanted to do more original content for the joint because he has the clientele that he wants, but he doesn't have the wider audience that know what Fancy is or whatever. So we talked about some shows. I sat with my friends, came up with a name for the show. It was Best Seat in the House. And yep. He was like, yo, let's just find a host. I'm like, yeah, let's find a host. So we think about it. He's like, won't you be the host? Everybody likes you. You know everybody. I'm like, yeah, I'm not no fucking host. And on camera person. He's like, yo, let's just do one. And if you do one and it's good, let's entertain. So he told me what the bag was. Per episode. So.
And you said, let's go.
Yeah, you said, oh, yeah. I spent that on fancy.com.
Yeah, let me get some money
yeah,
back.
Yeah.
So we did the one. The first person we did was Charlamagne, and it was received very well, and people liked it. So I was like, oh, maybe I could do this. So I started doing that for a little bit. And then, like, artists always been reaching out to me throughout my career, whether it's established artists, newer coming artists. I'm a name that somehow, luckily, thanks for my reputation and hard work, gets mentioned to other artists. So
you're in a lot of powerful group chats.
Yeah, yeah,
you know? Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, if it's a new artist, somebody's breaking, like, yo, you should meet with Hovain. So it's been a bunch of artists that I've met with, and sometimes it's a little older artists, like artists that might have been from my childhood that are looking for new management. They were like, yo, man, I want you to manage me or whatever. So the first person I think I started managing was Rob Markman. With his like newfound rap career, and then I think Styles reached out to me to manage him and Sheik, and then it just started snowballing.
In that moment when you are, you know, in this new world of interviewing, and you're in front of a camera, and you're sitting down with Rick Ross, and like
that shit went super viral, it was on TMZ for a week.
But like, how do you move forward with that? Because you're like, yo, all of a sudden it's like, I guess I'm doing a different job now.
Yeah,
because
it's like, I have a great relationship with Ross already. So we're talking like friends. So it wasn't like I'm doing a job. They're just taping a conversation with
sure, him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm doing my notes and writing shit down that I would ask, which is a little different than a regular friend conversation. But like, it wasn't like any different than two friends talking on camera.
No, yeah, sure.
But like, it's not easy to book guests.
Oh, no.
And you're talking about people who are impossible.
I have the highest respect for what you guys do when other people do. Dog, like, I can say it now because it happened, but like, that Ross interview was supposed to happen like 3 or 4 times. Like, you know what I'm saying? The camera crew came and got to pay them.
Oh, my God.
They rented shit, but like, he had something else to do, or he was had a long press day, he's tired. Like, you know, that's my guy. So it was like, I'm not going to press. All right, cool. Whatever, bro. You know what I'm saying? And what's crazy is one day we was posted a link for the interview, but he didn't do the interview, but we still hung out anyway and kicked it. And then,
was that frustrating?
I mean, like, you know, we going to smoke. It's a little bit like, yo, we could have been doing this right now. But like, I understand and I respect people's space. So it was like, cool, whatever. But then we did do it. Look what it turned out to be. So
yeah.
To know the backstories that go into how y'all people cancel on y'all. Yeah, and
sure. That's real.
It's an insight and a respect that I have for y'all that is real.
No, appreciate that. But that's also something where it's just like, can't go out there and let people know that. It's perception is everything.
Perception
so it's just
is everything.
Like,
when an interview came out, it was all over. It did great numbers. It was on TMZ.
As far as anyone knew, Ross showed up on time the first time.
And shouts to Ross.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it's like one of those things, man. Like, you have a respect for, like, I have a newfound respect for journalists and the things that I go through because I actually was in that world for a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
You do start to manage again and you do start getting out there again. Is it weird to get back into those same shoes and move around like that again? Or is it like
It's like riding a bike. But now it's like, it's a different bike. You used to a fucking BMX. Now it's a 10 speed. It's a different bike, but it's still a bike.
Because
now it's different artists. Now I'm.
And also, you're more known. You're more established. Yeah. You know a little bit of like, oh, okay, this is a shortcut to get to this person. I don't have to do the introduction again.
I'm not introducing myself to anybody anymore.
Yeah.
People know who I am.
So now you got a whole bunch of phone numbers and you're like, all right, cool. Yeah. Let me do this way. Did the music industry change in that time?
100%. Streams, everything is digital. Like, you know, the deals changed. The money is back in music, but for a second it was like a little
funny, but the
money is back.
Oh, But when you're coming back in and you look at what you had done before and the hard work and the long hours that you put in, could you get with somebody who was like brand new once more, and could you do it?
I don't have the time now. Like, so now it's like I don't have the time to take somebody or build with somebody from the beginning umbilical stages to get to the point where we were. I don't have the time now. So it was like, you know, I couldn't really work with one specific artist and just do that locked in, because I have a team of people.
Yeah,
now.
For sure.
It's a management company.
Yeah. Well, and that was a big announcement too. I remember like the Billboard article and everything, and it's you and Johnny Shipes coming together.
Yeah, which was weird in the first place. You know what I'm saying?
What was the first time you met Johnny like?
Listen, let me tell you how life is crazy. I manage Rich Hill, right?
Yep.
Rich Hill, first tour he goes on is a Smokers Club tour by Johnny Shipes. Boom, I met him there in passing. Cool. We had Nip, R.I.P., on the Smokers Club, on the Famous Factory in Brooklyn. First time I'm playing in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Guess who we booked it through? Johnny Shipes, because of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sycamore's first manager was Johnny Shipes.
Crazy.
Yeah, so it was like, you know, it was kind of like, it was destiny almost. Smoke Dizza was like one of my best friends, one of his best friends.
Exactly right.
Yo, Shipes want to meet with you. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. So we meet. He explains to me everything he's doing, and like, I've been watching you for years, mutual admiration. Like, you know, he's been doing great things. I always seen him doing great things, but we had artists that were kind of like, so now is a point where we are not really working with those artists such hands-on anymore. So it was like, yo, maybe we could have something together. And it's working out. It went from like a business relationship to like a friendship. Like, that's like really my friend.
Yeah.
Like, we're like brothers. Like, we talk about everything. We hang out when it's not work related. So
Johnny also sets the scene real nice, right? Where it's like you're working out of not your typical
we're in a office. Firehouse.
It is. Yeah. It's
real hip hop.
There's a bunch of animals in there. Johnny has voices for every single one of them.
You can smoke.
Yeah.
No, you know, I think you have to smoke. Like, I don't think
you don't have to smoke.
You got a lot of like young kids working in there.
A lot of young creatives. We got a lot of a team of great people, young A&Rs that know what's going on. They're up on everything. So,
and some tenured vets.
Yeah.
Chris Hershey, Busy. You know. So it's a real good vibe in there.
Yeah.
You know, you got the rooftop.
You got the rooftop.
It's a real nice vibe in there. It's not your typical office.
It is your typical office. It's not what your typical office is now. Because a lot of people, like the Norries of the world, like, yo, this give me the loud feel.
Mm.
Or the old Def Jam feel. That's how it used to be. A dice game might break out. That's what hip-hop is supposed to be. That's
what artists just coming
supposed
through.
To be. Now it's a little more corporate.
You're
it's
right.
Little,
you're right. You're right.
Yeah. That's what hip-hop is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I never... You work at a record label and the artists come through. Oh, you can't smoke in here. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever think that you would be actually in a corporate environment?
Never.
Never.
And that's the biggest thing that Shipes has helped me with. Like, you know, I'm kind of like acclimating myself with a team. I'm used to doing everything myself.
I know. That's
delegation,
a big thing. Yeah.
Like utilizing my team and working in a corporate setting. And like just the other day I was at Anchorage Capital Group's Christmas party. He's like one of our partners, and they're like the biggest money firm in the world. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm in that room maneuvering around with these corporate people. It was like,
what? Wait, how was the DJ?
DJ was cool, and Busta performed. I got Busta for him to perform.
What?
So yeah,
that's
yeah. It was
crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a great time.
By the way,
when is Busta's album coming out?
Yeah.
Listen, I'm going to stick by this.
Yeah.
2020, the album will come and it will be contender for album of the year.
We heard the album, right?
Oh, okay. Like, oh, yeah. So you know.
We went up there.
I mean, it is done or it was done.
It's done.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's still
done. He's been working for seven years.
It's done.
Yeah, because everybody said it was the best album of 2018. It was the best album of 2019. This is like Freddy versus Jason.
Okay.
He's got to put it out.
By the way, I hope that.
Do you think it's a very good album?
Yeah, I think it's a great album.
He is elite level spitting.
Yeah, and
the features are crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So so let me ask you this: did the people at Anchorage appreciate the best performer in music?
They got it.
Okay, good.
They got it. It was like a little bit halfway through. He had to give them the speech. Like, yo, y'all better fucking. Him and Spliff was like, yo, y'all better pay attention to what's happening right now. He took control of the room like he does a performer. Wait, and they got it.
What is the best conversation you've had with Spliff Star?
Oh, man, Spliff. You know, Spliff is from the hood, right? Spliff is like a real gangster, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Spliff used to tell me, and he ain't told me that as of yet, but he used to tell me, yo, leave that street shit alone, bro. Mm. We come from that shit, just get your money.
Yeah.
To get
yeah.
your family.
Jeff, what is the best conversation you've had with Splitstar?
I had an uninterrupted, like, 45-minute monologue from him about global warming.
So, yeah. yeah, very well-rounded
yeah,
person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, exactly right.
When did you leave the street shit alone?
What was that?
Long enough ago?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Was it something where you were like, you're leaving it alone because you understand the consequences of it, or you're like, I'm working in this new world and just doesn't hit?
Both. Like, you can't be a famous narcotic person, like it doesn't work in your favor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why would you jeopardize everything you working hard towards? Like, you know what I'm saying? You do that to, because you have to, out of desperation.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times, I know most of my friends and most of the people I know and love, we're born in a sense of defense, where we do things and everything's out of a sense of desperation. Like, you don't really get to live and really appreciate things, and you don't really get to live a fulfilled life until you get to a certain point of out that neighborhood or a certain amount of money, because all you're trying to do is survive, really. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
So if you get into this new situation with Cinematic, when you do, is it difficult to, like, delegate? Is it difficult?
100%.
Do you feel like antsy? Like, yo, I've been like
100%. And Chipe see it, and he'll call me. He'll be like, yo, come by the crib or let's talk. And he'll explain to me, like, yo, look, you trying to do this and you trying to do it yourself, you could have did fucking 15 other things.
Yeah,
I have a whole team for you. Get your assistant, get this, that, and third, or whatever, and delegate and make this shit happen. You know what I'm saying?
Johnny Chipe is one of the most funny and charismatic and fun people that you're ever gonna run into.
He's underappreciated.
Well, that's what I want to ask.
It's almost criminal. Like, not just because this is my friend, my brother, my business partner. You gotta look at it. All right, cool. Found Nipsey Hussle. Found him.
Yep.
Found Nipsey. Signed him.
Yep.
Boom. All right. Some people will rest their laurels on that. Y'all found Nipsey. Found Big Crit.
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's amazing too.
Ahead of his time.
Yeah. Oh, man, this is dope. Found Joey Badass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, signed Sean Kingston. Amazing Sean Kingston.
Big.
Oh, man. Now he's in a new generation with new artists. He's finding new artists, breaking new artists. Smoke Dizza, they're ahead of the weed rap lane and bringing the weed rap and touring and shit. And then the thing that separates him from other CEOs, he produces. Like, some of these records, Bullets Ain't Got No Name, one. Some of these other songs, and even Little Kel Wrong, that I just got a plaque for, he produced that record.
Wow.
Like, so it's a little different. It's like a Rick Rubin type of thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm finding the talent early. I'm curating it. And then I'm producing in the studio. Like, a lot of people, most people not doing that. I could say Rick Rubin and him.
Yeah.
Because I never heard of...
And Puff.
Puff.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Puff.
Yeah, yeah.
Puff is criminally underrated,
yeah.
too.
Oh, yeah.
I think some of the greats, people that we love, are underrated. I think Jay-Z's an underrated lyricist. People look at him as a businessman. They look at him at the hit records. They look at him Beyonce. They look at him as smart. But as far as raps, he is underrated. He's a super talented rapper.
I mean, like, it's this weird thing where it's just like, as time moves on, right? Like, that is what you're talking about, where it's just like, then he just becomes Beyonce's husband just because, like...
Yeah.
But I do think that now that he's put his music back on all the streaming platforms,
I hope so because
I do think that did play a major part in it, where his music wasn't available in the way that a lot of other places
and you can get forgotten. So when you are working in that building and Johnny Chipe is doing a million things, what do you find your role to be?
I'm kind of like
the muscle,
management, right? I handle all the management aspects. You know, me and him have the management company together. But, like, as far as Cinematic, the record label, I kind of, like, again, have a unique tool set where I'm able to, oh, you can't get this artist because of whatever, I'm going to call him. Oh, you need Lil Duval for a video, I'll call him. Oh, you trying to get on Angie Martinez show, I'll set that up. Oh, you're having a problem at Genius. Oh, I know somebody there.
Yeah. I can ring somebody's neck. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I have a unique tool set. Like, whatever needs to be done, and I don't have an ego about it. Whatever needs to be done for the team to win, I'm down to do, like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yo, y'all going to FedEx? Yo, I'm driving that way. You want me to drop you? Like, whatever needs to be done.
Yeah. Do you still have the Hummer?
Nah.
Okay, yeah.
Nah.
What is the craziest room that you've been in? You've been in a ton of rooms.
Man, I've been in a ton of rooms. Some Tommy shit was crazy. I remember Butch Lewis took us to the first, not the first BET Awards, but it was like one of the earlier BET Awards. This is mad early. And we're sitting in the same row as Michael Jordan. It's like, yo, Michael Jordan. And then, listen, then another crazy room. This is Butch Lewis. Butch Lewis had like a 60th birthday party. And he flew the OJs there. Like, this is like, I'm talking like major money in Delaware. So his partners are Denzel Washington, Leon, Judge Mathis, and somebody else that's like was his immediate crew. But we're all sitting together at a table having breakfast. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. This is nuts. I'm with Denzel Washington. This is crazy. Yeah.
At this point in your life, you are, you know, working for a company that is on the up and up. Yeah. You're working with a ton of artists that are on the up and up. You're looking for talent all the time.
Yeah.
You're at every event. We see you at, you know, whether it's like the Def Jam party, whether it's at like Barclays for Duce Palooza. You move around.
Yo, I had a flight that morning from the Barclays, Duce Palooza. I had a flight at 6 that morning because Kel was performing at Rolling Loud, L.A. I was dead. Yeah. That was the worst.
And then to be standing in the rain for like 6 hours or whatever that you were doing.
Yeah, it was terrible.
And also like dripped out, like wearing like the nicest outfit.
I do want to talk about your shoes in a second, but
yeah, something light. I get it.
Do you find time to relax, like for your own self?
I'm learning. Everybody in my family.
It's important.
Even Shipes is like, yo, bro. Sometimes you gotta take it to yourself. Turn your phone off. Like, you know, worry about yourself. Like, relax. I'm trying to, but like, I just like working.
When was your last vacation?
I went to Jamaica, like. 3 months ago.
Okay. That's not good. Yeah. Do you find that you're working so hard because you're like trying to make up for like what happened in the past?
Nah, I just want to be great. Like I want to be great. Like I had a brief, maybe 3 month period where we were kicking it with Chris Lighty right before he passed.
Wow.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And I want to be great. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I strive to be like one of them one name people like Russell.
Yeah.
Puff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I want to be great. And I've seen up close what it takes to be great.
Mm.
And there's a certain determination. There's a certain level of work. Like when Puff was on his shit, it wasn't taking no fucking days off. It wasn't no kicking it. Puff was working.
What do you think you're lacking in that department? Cause like, I wouldn't, you know, if you're saying that you're not there yet, like what is that?
I think a lot of times, like I don't do shit like this. Like people don't know what's up with me unless I tell them, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times people will act like they don't know what the fuck is up with you if you don't tell them. Mm. Like, no disrespect, but if y'all don't wave that y'all did 12 years in your face, I bet you people in front of y'all like y'all just, they probably just started a cute little podcast.
No, for sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you need your ego. You got to remind these niggas, like, no, I'm not fucking around. We do this for real. We doing this on our own.
Yeah.
We sell out this. We did the fucking Rockefeller. Sometimes you have to remind niggas that I don't do enough of that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You are known for your shoes.
I think I'm an amazing dresser.
It is really awesome to see you promote Cinematic like you do.
Yeah.
You know, you have the chain, you have the jacket. Yeah. You're always talking about Cinematic.
Yeah, because I don't want to get it lost. Like I said, I'm gonna have confidence in myself, but I don't want to try to overshadow anything. I don't do all this. You don't do nothing great alone. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's certain things you've done, and it's been 97% you, but you're going to always say, yo.
Of course. Like, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. 100%.
So, like, people sometimes, like, I have a personality or I have a name that precedes me, so they'll accredit anything and any success to me. And I don't want that for Cinematic. Like, I want people to know that Shipes is dope and Hirsch is killing in the digital department and busy with the creative. I don't ever want that to get lost. Like, I'm the only person doing something or I'm the face of, or, you know what I'm saying? It's more than just me, and I always want to give credit where credit is due.
But when it comes to your shoes, does anybody outshine you at work?
No.
Okay.
No. Not even close.
What is
busy is dope though. Busy.
He got some nice pieces.
Yeah, he got some nice pieces. But like, this is years in the making. Like, I've been a snazzy dresser and sneaker addict since a child.
You got shit still in the closet that like hasn't seen the light of day?
Still. No. Yeah. I got some shit.
Wait, is there a point to like keeping it in there? Clark Kent says, wear your shoes.
I wear, like, look, I got them in Travis's right now.
No, I see them.
It's courtesy of Cactus Jack and my friends over there.
Yeah.
But, like, I like to wear shit, but, like, sometimes you're like, yo, let me just hold on to this a little bit because I don't want to, you know what I'm saying?
Do you break them out for special situations? Like, when you go into a meeting, you're like, I know what I'm doing here?
Not really. I go with the feeling. I wish I was that type of person.
Do you dress from the ground up?
Yes.
Okay.
You got to. I don't understand people that do the opposite. Like, yo, I put on my shirt. Then I look for... I got, like, those container stores, clear bins.
Yep. Yeah.
So, like, I can see. I look. I survey the land.
Yeah.
And I look, and I'm like, Yeah, I'll do this then.
Do you have any like grailed pieces that you haven't gotten yet?
Yo, I'm gonna be really honest, and it's crazy, it's a blessing. I kind of got everything I ever wanted. Like, it's not no sneakers that I'm like, damn, I didn't get those I wanted. You know what? It's one pair. The silver foam pods at David Robinson's, I never had them.
What size are you?
12. I'm about to say, this is your life.
Do you ever go on eBay to look for shoes? Are you out there like?
I ain't really an eBay.
Were you on Nike Talk? Like,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was one of those kids that used to sit on the Nike app and design shoes for hours that we're not gonna order.
Do you hate bots?
Yeah. Dog, this shit is so stressful.
Are you up on Saturday mornings? Like,
yes.
Yeah.
And then I'll be in different cities and I mess up the time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? But you know what it is with the app? I learned the more you spend with them, the higher the algorithm is, are you going to get the shoes?
Because
it was a stretch.
It's like Las Vegas rules.
It was a stretch.
Or it's like YouTube, by the way.
Everything I wanted for like four things in a row. Like,
yeah.
Instant, I'm like, oh.
By the way, you're not afraid to pay for a shoe.
No, I'm not afraid.
You know, like, there's people who just, like, you know, will not.
No. But, yeah, I have a limit, though.
I have a limit.
Yeah, of course. I would hope so.
I'm not one of those guys that pays $1,700 for some sneakers. I have great rationales because I start to say $1,700. I'm like, yo, I could just take a little trip to Miami. You know what I'm saying? $1,700 for some sneakers.
Yeah.
Wait, for one pair?
Yeah, like some people pay. They pay $1,700,
$3,000. Wait, yo, you see, like, my face is just like, I don't understand.
$200 over retail is the highest I'm going.
Yeah.
Ever.
What is the best backstage area that you've been in? Because I'm gonna be completely honest here. Wow. You know that Barclays, that Duce Palooza had all of our like favorite artists up there performing, right? But like,
yeah, we were sort of like just like pinballing around.
We didn't see any of the performances. We've seen them all live like a million times. The honest truth is like we have more fun just hanging out with everyone, right?
Yeah.
What's the wildest backstage you've been a part of?
It's been some ones. I think. I seen State Property in Philly at TLA.
Ooh.
That was like...
That's a good one.
That was like a movie. That was a movie.
Yo, I swear to God, I don't take it for granted, like, our friendship with, like, Freeway especially. Last week or whatever, 2 weeks ago.
We were in a circle with, like, all of them.
Yeah, like... Chris and Neve fucked with us, too. But then it was, like, all of a sudden, it was like, oh, Beanie's Petey. Right here.
Yeah.
And Petey. And, like, that was wild.
Yeah, it's dope, man.
Do you still get, like, surprised anymore?
100%, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I'm still a fan. Like, I'm not...
And, by the way, that's cool.
I'm not lost on none of this. Like... Nori is like one of my closest friends in the music business.
Shouts to Nori. Big shouts to Nori.
Biggest Noriega fan
ever
in the history of the world.
Yeah.
So for me to be a person who I can call him anytime, he's going to answer. Jadakiss and Styles P,
man.
I used to have posters of the Locks all over my room. So for me to be someone who, like, they play music for him, like, what do you think? The fuck is amazing. What do you mean? What do I think?
That's a mind fuck.
Yeah, it's mind blowing.
It like blows my mind every single time that any of them know my actual name.
Yeah, it's like, it's crazy. Like,
not just like tall one
or that one.
Sometimes you look back at your life and you're like, yo, I never seen this coming. Like, Fat Joe is like a friend. This is someone like
you guys are both friends with Fat Joe.
Me and we are. Yeah,
because Fat Joe doesn't know who I am.
Yeah.
I'll introduce you.
That's no, but yeah, like
thank
Joe,
you will yeah, because we just, Eric won't.
Because I won't.
we were just in Mexico. Me, Nori, and Fat Joe. We were at Enough Wedding, and they was like, "Yo, you're an honorary Hispanic now." Yeah. So like, we got to come up with a Hispanic name for you. So yeah, that's my guy. But like some of the people, like it's validation almost to have the respect of people you grew up looking up to, and you know what I'm saying, like when an artist that you were like listening to and hanging on every word, like, yo, I want you to manage me, like that's like a total, that's all the validation you need.
It's really interesting, and we've talked about this a bunch recently because we live in this world now where it's like a lot of people unfortunately fight for the validation of like random screen names.
Yeah.
You know,
retweet me, say that I'm cool.
Or comments or like whatever it is. Yeah. And it's like at the end of the day, it's like, yo, the conversation that I can have with Jim Jones in my hallway, in my home, is more valuable than like whatever anyone thinks about the fact that like I forgot to ask one question. Yo. Or like we have music that we've done with Bun B. You can never take that away from
never.
Me. Never. We watch movies with the locks. Like, what?
Yeah.
You know, like.
There's no better feeling than that. Oh, speaking of Jim is a friend, too. I was super early on his album, and I told everybody that it was going to be crazy. People was laughing
at
me.
You were right.
I told them. But Jim Jones, it was certain artists that, like, fashion-wise, were everything to the community. I remember a period, everybody dressed like Jim, everybody just like Stack, people just like Shines with the thermals and the Timbs and the hats with the suits and all that. For Jim Jones to call me fly and say I get fly and, yo, I'm drippy and all that, it's a...
The ultimate compliment.
Dog, we all went and got rock star belts. We all went and got chains, the chain belts. We all
jeans
went...
Jeans got skinnier, yeah.
Oh, the Pelés, like... So for people you looked up to and admired to do the same with you and give you those kudos is like all the validation you should need.
Did you have long hair though?
Never. I wish.
Never had a chance to leave half your shit out? Like,
I never did. That's the one thing I didn't do. I didn't have braids. One day.
By the way, we had Ferg up here and I was like, hey, you ever switch up your hairstyle? He was like, no, like I tried it one time and it didn't work and I would never do it again.
Yeah.
2 months later,
he's
that's
green.
All he does.
Yeah.
Now I feel like you're going to grow your shit out.
Yeah.
New
Hovain.
You know what it is? Like, I'm so, like, I wouldn't say a germaphobe or nothing like that, but, like, I like to have my hair cut, like, my nails short, like, shit like that. So, it's like, I go without a haircut. Everybody tried it. I tried it in high school for, like, no haircut for a month, and I felt like such a flea bag.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is not going to
work. Get the clippers, yeah.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, it's time. It's time.
No, like, I've been needing a haircut for so long, but this 12 days of podcast has
been
like
a lot.
Everything up.
It's been a lot.
We got to get a barber in here.
Where's Rich the barber at? Like, get Kaiser on the phone, connect us, whatever. Do you think back to growing up and seeing your cousin out there and becoming, well, first of all, your cousin's a legend.
Yeah.
Jay-Z recognized that?
Yeah.
Like the blogs recognize
Sean
that?
Sean Carter is nice, but Sean Price is the best.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like, that's impossible, but it's a reality.
Yeah,
do you think back and remember your times with him and be like, yo, like, you know, it's wild the path that he went. It's unfortunate the end of his life.
Yeah.
But his work remains.
Yeah.
His legacy remains. And that's your blood.
His wife just came back from Europe running around with Rock. They did a Sean Price little European run. So his legacy still lives on. He's still able to generate income from them. And it's crazy because Drew Howe works with Cinematic as well.
Yeah.
So like me and Drew share stories about Sean all the time and talking shit. Like, yeah, it's dope. But once again, it's bittersweet. I'd rather him be here and I'd rather him get the praise and get the finances that it should have get down because it's selling out, but like, you know.
And have his kids see him, you know? Yeah, like, I mean, that's
most important.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He was everything to his kids.
So for you, you know, growing up in Brownsville, Brooklyn, to make it out here, to go through ups and downs, work harder than ever and see it pay off, how does that feel? It
feels good, but like, I want more. Like, you know what I'm saying? This mad at these 30 under 30 lists and 40 under 40 lists that I should be on, like, you know what I'm saying? I want more.
Why is that validation from, like, because you know how those lists get made.
Listen, it's political, but at the end of the day, like, you know, I'm participating in this sport. We're in this class together, so everybody in my class is getting awarded. You're not, you with something wrong. We're in this class, and I'm getting equally as
you want your all-star look.
Listen, I'm in a league. I'm scoring too. I'm not getting 2 points a night. We're impacting culture.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Be clear.
What if I don't get it?
Yeah.
Listen, niggas know, because I'll be out every day.
We're going to burn down the buildings. We get it. Yeah. Let's do it.
When I'm out and about, the people who know, they know.
Yeah.
The movers and shakers, the Joey I.E.'s, the Leors, they know. See you doing your thing, man. Keep doing it.
I mean, Joey's seen it from the beginning.
He has seen it from the beginning.
Exactly. So, like, you know what I'm saying?
Be very clear here. Were you a Brooklyn Nets fan? Way before.
No, I'm keeping it real. Yo, I was a diehard Knicks fan. Diehard Knicks fan, but like, they used to ruin me. Like, ruin my whole day. Like, they would kill me. And then the Nets came, then it's hip hop infused. They got Biggie thing hanging up there.
Yep,
72. They did it the right way. So it was like, you know, listen, you're going to stay with an abusive girlfriend your whole life? or a nude girl moves on your block.
Yo, yo.
And she's attractive and showing you some love. And you're going to be like, you know what? I could stay with her.
Yeah.
Don't be a slave to loyalty.
Yeah. You know you're like, maybe I've been a sucker this whole time. Yeah, like what? Like,
yo, the Knicks don't care about us.
That is a fact.
The franchise doesn't care about us. I'm not going to be blind by loyalty to a fault, because people will use your loyalty against you, because the Garden sells out every night.
Right.
People loyal to it. They come to it, whatever. They don't have to give us a product that we deserve. They're like, yo, they're going to come anyway. The Nets are competitive.
Mm-hmm.
KD's getting healthier. Next year is going to be some shit.
Yeah.
Right here in Brooklyn. Like, how can you not support? Listen, people call me a turncoat. I don't care.
Jamal might. Yeah.
No, listen. You want to stay with an abusive girlfriend your whole life?
That's on you.
Also, Jamal's the biggest turncoat because he left for L.A.
He did. Yeah, he moved to L.A. Yeah.
Wearing shorts and all this shit. Yeah, come on. Stay with your city.
Yeah.
I bet you're going to see him at a Clipper game.
Yeah, I guarantee.
Front row.
Yeah. Do you have an affinity for Brooklyn rappers? Like, beyond
love
Jay?
Him. Yes, love him.
Like,
I have a Brooklyn bias. I have a New York City bias. I have a Brooklyn bias.
Uncle Murder.
Love him. That's my guy.
Like,
Mano. Yeah. Love him.
Castanova,
yeah,
5EO, all these guys.
Love it. I love all the young guys because I know what they could be doing. They could be doing something worse. They could be smacking your mother upside the head, taking her purse. You know what I'm saying? So anybody who comes from that and they're making something of themselves and they're empowering their people and got their friends getting money and they're getting money, I love it.
Are you on the lookout for Brooklyn talent first?
So
if somebody comes to you from Atlanta, you're like,
I'm with it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lil Kel's from St. Louis.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Delox is from Yonkers.
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying? So I'm not like, oh, yeah, but if you are dope and I'm looking at you and you're from Brooklyn, I'm like, I'm a little happy.
What if it's a 25-year-old white kid from Williamsburg?
Let's do it. If you're nice and you're authentic and you're being yourself and you're true to yourself.
What if his organic self is him buying organic water?
What kind of water?
Yeah. And can you get in on that?
Like, Sentia?
Yeah.
Shout out to Ebro.
Hovain, congratulations on your whole career, but certainly everything you're doing lately, because you're on a hell of a run, my man.
Yeah.
I'm going to fuck 2020 up the same way, I promise.
Thanks so much for coming through.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks everyone for listening to this new episode of A Waste Time With You For Real. If you want to find out more about us, I'm Eric with the curly hair. Jeff is the one with the glasses. Together, we are It's The Real, no apostrophe, no spaces. If people want to find out more about this podcast, it's almost 300 episodes in, and it's called A Waste of Time With It's The Real. Jeff, if people want to find out more about what's going on with us, where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com, itsthereal.com. We've got a bunch of stuff on our website. You can click on all of it. I'm talking about our merch. I'm talking about our newsletter. I'm even talking about that video on the front page.
Go
itsthereal.com.
Go press play.
Why not?
Do your job.
Life is short. Click on some shit.
Jeff, are we on the internet?
We are on the internet. We are on social media at Twitter at It's The Real. We are also on Instagram at It's The Real.
What happens if people Google It's The Real?
Then a bunch of fine women with opinions come up. Shout out to our girls, Tamar Braxton.
Shout out to
Adrian Bylon.
I mean, yes. But really, just type in
Shout out
The Real.
To the girl who...
It's one word.
Jeezy's dating.
No apostrophe. No spaces. Jeff, I asked the internet. I said, hey, guys. If you want a shout out, respond to this tweet right here, right now, and let us know your favorite part of A Waste of Time That's The Real. Jeff, really quickly, if you can, what do people have to say?
Usually when you put up these calls to action, there'll be like a couple that'll come in at first, and then like a couple more, and they'll slowly peter in.
Okay. Does that mean that we have two? Maybe three?
No, you put up this thing saying nice things about us, and literally everybody did.
Okay. Well, Jeff.
Which is the nicest thing.
So, what do people have to say?
Shout out to Don't Hate Be Hated, who said the best part of our podcast is YouTube.
Oh, that's very nice.
Great guests are important, but I've listened to every episode regardless of the guest because I know what YouTube brings to the table, and I always leave having learned something about everyone on the mic.
That is really awesome.
I also want to shout out El Braina Cacos, who said, I like that it stays authentic and real.
Yes.
Also, Don't Hate Be Hated said, no shout out necessary, for real.
Oh,
well,
but
it's too late.
Too late.
It's too late. That damn pen.
Yes.
Napricorn.
Great name.
Said, the questions, always, it's not the typical questions, and guests always feel like friends just having a conversation. Oh, yeah, and the callbacks, fuck it, everything, LOL. Neek Supreme said, what's up, fellas? Just appreciate the honesty that your questions bring forth with every guest on the podcast. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
One and only JT said definitely the intros, but if the vocals were up more, it would be a little better to hear all of them. That's on you.
That's on me.
That's on you.
Wait, what?
The intros, if the vocals were up more, it would be a little better to hear all of them.
Okay, I'm going to work on that.
Also, the vocals should be better on when I'm telling you this because you didn't hear me the first time.
That's true.
Chris Colors. Colors Chris on Twitter. So the best podcast moment was Sheik doing an impression of Baby Boy on BET.
Yeah, that was damn funny.
When are we doing another Two Jews and Two Blacks?
Jeff, put it in the air.
Hey, the Locks, who are definitely listening to this episode and this part right now.
Yep.
Free up your schedule. I'm tired of hitting you guys up. Stress the MC said, my favorite part is the type of guests you guys get. Always dope to learn about those that tend to get less shine normally. They also have more industry stories that have never heard before.
Right on.
Oh my god. She fucking dead.
That's the name?
That's the name. All OMG, right. She fucking dead. Said me.
Okay. No, you're the best.
No, not me.
Oh.
She said me.
Okay.
But not me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
saying? I do.
Verena Von Fetten, Vancouver Zone.
Yes.
Said the dinosaurs.
Absolutely right.
Okay, Khalid. Or okay, Khalid.
One of the two.
Some say Khalid, some say Khalid. Said the sidebars. Y'all go on random tangents and they end up hilarious. LOL.
That's a good one.
Drew Tech said the AKAs are still my favorite. It's so crazy. I always feel like nobody ever listens to the AKAs.
Jeff, you're wrong.
I'm so wrong. Because also Jay Della said it's easily the intro and the AKAs.
There you go.
Wait, the actual intro. The intro that I really feel like nobody listens to.
Jeff, you have been wrong this entire time.
Lawrence Art Comedy said y'all just being y'all in the beginning and when you got history with a guest.
That's really nice.
12th Letterman said the AKAs.
Shout out to you.
C Sharp said the intros, duh.
Yeah.
Ebony Not Ivory said my favorite part is the introductions. It's Ebony, a.k.a. Ari Bandit, a.k.a. Travel Junkie, Gun Sounds, LOL. Davinio said Big Dave from Durham.
Okay, that's him.
That's him. He said that. He said his name.
Yes.
He said me.
Okay.
I love your whole interviewing style. That's really nice.
That is nice.
Also, his name is Dickhead Dave. I didn't come up with it. He's the one.
Okay.
The Connected Experience Podcast. So the way y'all get the guests to open up is dope. Luisito from BX, the Bronx, said the artwork.
You know what?
That feels like...
Not everyone can say the AKAs, you know?
It feels like Luisito might be saying that he is a graphic designer. Nope. He is an actuary and math teacher. Who knew? I was wrong. I'm wrong about everything. Dave Castle said the AKAs are the best. Shout out to y'all.
Yeah.
Eric, what's your favorite AKA?
At this point, probably Yo What Up is Eric, a.k.a. the Bag of Chandler, a.k.a. Catch a Case.
Yo What Up is Jeff, a.k.a. Player of the Year, a.k.a. Uchiwali Zerbiak. Yeah, that's classic.
Yeah, yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic. Tidiologist said the intros, obviously.
Obviously.
Slang Rock Legal. Slang Rock's Legal said all the Dipset love, a.k.a. an appreciation for Dipset culture.
There you go.
Cindy Chase said that y'all really ask thought-out questions and can keep the conversation interesting on an Anderson Cooper level or journalists on that level and pressure other podcasts to step it up. Y'all rarely do the morning show or late-night show Q&A that is so boring, y'all HBO level. Wow.
Thank you very much. I'm going to be honest. I don't think Anderson Cooper is a very good interviewer.
Damn. Eric, why are you taking shots at other journalists?
Oh, man.
I'm
not a journalist.
Dipped in Chocolate 3.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, no. Dipped in Chocolate.
Yeah.
3 is an E.
Okay.
Said the intros and AKAs with a slanted crying face.
Okay.
Yo Ma Love Me Yeah. Great name.
Says
two Jews and two black dudes. If Sheik busy, I'll fill in. First of all, Sheik is busy.
Yeah.
So we're coming down to New Orleans. Jacoby T08 said, my favorite part is how you guys never stumble. Well, have you listened to the outro to this podcast? Because I've been stumbling this entire time.
It's the last podcast of the year.
He said he's always on point with the next insightful question, always quick-witted, and you play off each other well.
Thank you.
I stumbled again.
There you go.
And let's not forget how deep you'll go with the research.
Thank you very much. Guys, little secret, no research.
No research. Some research.
A little research.
I feel like life is research.
There you go.
M. Sween 10, that's Mark Sweeney, said the motherfucking depth of knowledge, kick-ass in 2020.
Thank you very much, and the same to you.
A. Breezy, my man Tex, said, can't remember which particular episode it was, but out of all the ones, it was the one where y'all finally gave yourself your own flowers. Fuck it, people first heard you through Cam not believing in dinosaurs. 10 plus years in the game and not a dent on either one of y'all. Salute.
Salute to you, and thank you.
NC State of Mind said, consistency. I feel like you guys get everyone's best story.
Thank you.
Alex Sampson said, hey.
Hey. Thank you.
And Lauren Beatmaker, our man from South Florida.
Yes, sir.
Said, damn, I really missed it. I love the AKAs. Again, I'm wrong. I thought that everybody was over the AKAs.
Guys, 2019 has been a great one. Hope the same for you. And let's all win in 2020. Jeff, as always, not for real, for real.
I'm going to get pasta.
We'll see you guys next year.